message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
And there'll be results, there'll be testimonies in your life, even on this last day of the month of September, in the name of Jesus. Your outstandings shall be delivered to you in the name of Jesus. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. Overcoming hindrances to a new season. Overcoming hindrances to a new season. Your destiny is a destiny that has been programmed by God to be beautiful. God has planned your life to be a sweet and good life. You are not designed to suffer defeat. You are designed to move from glory to glory. Someone say from glory to glory. That is God's plan for you. You are not designed to be a struggler. He has a good plan for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, the thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God's intention for you is to continue to enjoy a good future. And that is exactly what will happen to you in the name of Jesus. I said that's exactly what will happen to you in the name of Jesus. You will enjoy a very sweet and good future in the name of Jesus. Struggling will never be your portion in life in the name of Jesus. When others are saying that there's a casting down, you will be saying there's a lifting up in the name of Jesus. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, the Bible says, for we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by His Spirit. So you are designed to move from glory to glory and not to be hindered. And everything that wants to hinder you is stopped this morning in Jesus' name. We're looking at a few of the hindrances, because God doesn't hinder His children. If you as good and as the other side as you are, you still want the best for your children. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 9 to 11, the Bible explains to us that if you know how to give good, it says, of what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So God is a God that gives. He blesses. He doesn't hinder. But there are some things that hinders Christians from assessing a change of life. You see some Christians, their life is permanently the same way. The same way you met them 10 years ago is the same way their life is. If you are a Christian and something is not changing in your life, something is wrong. And we want to look at a few of those things that might be wrong so that we can handle it this morning. We trust God to grant us speed because we have spent so much time worshiping and ministering this morning. And I know that it's worthwhile, and God will bring forth testimonies in Jesus' name. Hindrances to a new season, number one, is lack of self-control. Inability to control oneself can hinder a man or a woman from entering into a new season. I'll just touch these points one by one briefly because of time. A man or woman that lacks self-control, it's like a world, it's like a city that is broken down without walls. That's what the Bible says. When a man doesn't have control over his life, over his habits, his eating habits, that my daughter said, God broke 18 years addiction. That's what devil does to people. He can keep a person in 40 years addiction. He does it. Like 2 years ago, I traveled somewhere and I saw him at a burial. And a man was smoking, a man I know very well, a renowned person, a renowned doctor, was smoking and was coughing badly. And one of the people that followed me from here, traveled with me there, asked me, sir, can't you notice that this person is smoking, yet coughing like he's going to die now, yet he cannot stop me? I said, that is what lack of self-control does. A person is looking at death, yet he still wants to embrace the death. He was coughing like he will drop dead right there. Yet he still went to corner and puff. And he says, the doctor, he's dead now. Cancer, he's dead now. Lack of self-control will hinder a man from fulfilling his destiny. That's why you cannot just talk anyhow. You can't just do things anyhow. You can't sleep anyhow. You can't sleep as much as you wish to sleep. If you sleep as much as you wish to sleep, you can't achieve anything. So don't allow your life to go out of control. That's why we have all said all of us will bring our lives under Christ. Because when you give your life to Christ, you have handed over your life to Christ. And then you become a new creature. He can help you. He can teach you what to do. My prayer for somebody here today is that your life will never go out of control. As many that God destined them from heaven to spend 100 years, but they spent 35 years. Because when they were driving, and their driving was not in order, and the Holy Spirit was telling them, this your driving is not in order. This your driving is not in order. This is they forget it. I've been driving for the past 20 something years, man. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. Number two hindrance to a new season is stinginess and lack of covenant practice. When a man is stingy, he can never get the best of God. In Proverbs 11:24-25, the Bible explains to us, but there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, there is he that withholdeth more than his need, and he turneth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Liberality is the gateway to prosperity. The more liberal you are, the more God will release to you. If you are here and you are still struggling with covenant practice, you are not yet ready for a new season. Covenant practice is, covenant is an agreement between two parties. It's binding between two parties. Now, covenant practice, as relates to us as Christians, is talking about relationship between God and man when it talks to the issue of finance. Submitting our finance totally to God, according to the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 12. And I pray for somebody here today, is that grace never to rob God again comes on each one in the name of Jesus. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. That there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God said, if you are able to be in this practice, I will ensure that the kind of blessing I will give to you, no room can contain it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And you shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast high fruits before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. This is not a prayer. It's about obedience. As many that desire to run with God in their finances have signed up for a new season. The reason why money never meets money in many people's hands is because they have refused to be in covenant practice with God. They have left every aspect of their life to God except the money part. God, take care of my kids, take care of my wife, take care of my other areas. But this money matter, leave me. I'm the one that will deal with that. You don't have any control over that. And God wants to have a control over every aspect of our lives. And he wants to destroy the spirit of mammon and the spirit of covetousness from our hearts. If you ask many Christians that beg from you, they don't tithe. Many Christians that come to you to ask for begging or ask for assistance, they don't tithe. Many. Not all, but most of the time, 90, maybe like 95% are not into covenant practice. So, my prayer for you here this morning is that the grace to be able to do this, God will release to you in the name of Jesus. Number three, hindrance to a new season, which you must overcome, is non-redemption of pledges and vows. Numbers 30 verse 2. Numbers chapter 30 verse 2. Numbers, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, the Bible says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 23:21, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not be slack to do it. When you vow a vow unto the Lord, thou shalt not be slack to do it, to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require of it, and it will be seen unto thee. When you make a vow to God, and you tell God, God, this is what I want. Please, if you do this, I will do this. God doesn't forget. That's why you don't just make vows anyhow. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, Anna made a vow about her son, that God, if you give me a son, this is what I'm going to do. And amazingly, God never forgot. He never forgot because God never forgets. 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, verse 11. Okay, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child, specific, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no result come upon his head. And that was exactly how Samuel lived his life. Anytime you have spoken to God about something, they made a pledge and you signify. If you didn't signify, that's no problem. But you signify, you are it's compulsory. If you really want to enter into a new season, because God will never forget what you have said you are going to do. And if you read on in the scriptures, you see that Anna fulfilled her vow, gave Samuel to the Lord, and God gave her more children. Bless her massively. And I know somebody is here today. God is going to bless you massively. I say God is going to bless you massively. In Judges 11, 30 to 36, Jephthah made a pledge to the Lord. God, if you can make me win this battle, I'm going to a battle. If you make me win this battle against these people, if I'm coming, anybody that comes out, first person that comes out to greet me, I will offer the person a sacrifice. And he went to win that battle against the Ammon. The Ammonites came against him. And as he came back, thanking God and dancing, his daughter, only daughter, came out to greet him first. And he had no choice. And the Bible says that the daughter herself said, if you have vowed that this is what you are going to do, please, daddy, do it. Just give me a few days to just have some time with my friends and say goodbye to everybody. Then, and she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months that I may go up and down the mountain. Let me go and just have some time with my friends. Then, whatever you want to do in terms of sacrificing my life, do it. Vows is as serious as that. Many have been denied their new season because they made vows and pledges to God months ago, years ago, and they did as if God did not remember it. It's important that we retrace our steps and we go back to God. And as we do that, God will answer and take each one into his new season in the name of Jesus. Something surprised me about Anna's vow. As she made that vow in 1 Samuel 1 verse 11, immediately, she has been meeting with her husband before and she never got pregnant. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 19, as they got back home, as she met her husband, she got pregnant. What does that tell me? God responds to vows fast. When you want something from God very fast, attach it with a vow and redeem that pledge. Let that vow make sure that no matter what is said, what you have said you are going to do, you do it. And then you move from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Somebody's here. All the days of your life, things will be changing for the better for you in Jesus' name. The reason why the children of Israel were attacked violently by God was because they prayed to God that God will serve you all the days of our life. Suddenly, they changed their mind. When Moses went to the mountain before he came back, he started serving another God. And God was very, very angry. I pray that God will never be angry with you and I in the name of Jesus. Number 4, hindrance that can hinder us from accessing a new season is slothfulness and unfaithfulness. Slothfulness and unfaithfulness. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11 and verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 11. It says, Proverbs 12, 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain presence is void of understanding. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Anybody that is slothful or slothfulness is about laziness, inability to want to go the extra. Go to verse 27 of that place. Proverbs 11, 27. Proverbs 11, 27. He said, the slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. He went out to pick something from the farm and he could not even cook it and put it in his own mouth. So, everyone that wants a new season must be a man or a woman that is hard work, not just working. When you go out in the morning and you come back at night and you don't feel that you have worked at all, most likely you didn't work at all. Because if you work, you will feel it. Don't just squander your day if you want a new season in your life. Don't just squander your day if you want a new season in your life. If you waste seconds, you begin to waste minutes. When you waste minutes, you begin to waste hours. When you waste hours, you begin to waste a day. When you begin to waste a day, you begin to waste weeks. When you waste weeks, you waste months. When you waste months, you waste years. When you waste years, you waste destiny. So every day must be an investment unto assignment. Every day must. Don't just wake up and just say, I just feel like sleeping all day. But what? I just feel like sleeping all day. Even the ants don't sleep all day. According to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. They don't sleep all day. They walk. They work hard. Nobody will come and put food in your mouth. You are the one that must go and get something to do. You are the one that will go out and get something to do. If you really want to have a tomorrow, and you don't want your tomorrow hindered, then you must labor today. You must put in your best today. You must go the extra mile today. Look at Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. You know that story very well, how talents were given out. To one, a man was traveling, and 25, verse 14, a man gave talents to his servants. To one, he gave five. To one, he gave two. And to one, he gave one. The one he gave five, he worked, because nothing increases without work. Nothing will grow in your hands if you don't work. If I dash you 10 million now and you don't work, that 10 million will soon become 1 million, from 1 million, 100,000, from 100,000 to one kobo. Because life is about continuous spending. As rent is coming, school fees is coming, food is coming, you're passing through suya, you buy. You're passing through pepper soup, you like it, you buy. You like apples, you like strawberry, everything you like, everything good, but not except work. Any man or woman that wants the best of his life must work. That one that had five talent doubled it. Because if you are a steward and what you are doing, there's no increase, there's no progress. Your maker is not excited. The person that appointed you is not happy. So from two to five. The second one, five, he had two talents. From two, he doubled, 100% increase. Before this, boss came back. The third one, that only one. He said, oh. Then which you shall receive one talent said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. That's how a lazy person thinks. They're using me. So they will just be using me like that. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Go on, please. And I was afraid and went and hid it. May you not hide your talent in Jesus' name. There is a talent in you. Use it. If you cannot find a job, create a job. If people refuse to employ you, employ yourself. Wear a suit in the morning. Go and do what you can do. You are not empty. You either have five talents, two talents, or you have one talent. You are not devoid of talent. Don't bury your talent. Don't throw your talent inside the well. Don't throw your talent inside soccer way. So, be faithful. And if you read the Bible very well, the Bible says they casted him out. They cast him out. You wicked and slothful servant. I noticed that lazy people are very wicked, personally, in my few years in ministry. Anybody that you see that is lazy will be very wicked and very brutal. Because a hardworking person has no time. We have no time. We are busy trying to make things work out. Trying to contribute to your generation. Looking for the advancement of mankind. A lazy person will cross his leg. That's why in this part of the world, wickedness is very much. When you travel abroad, you see the way they free life. Everybody's happy. Everybody's living their life. Here, we have Babalawo, we have Mamalawo, we have Okulawo, we have Cousin Lawo, we have Nebolawo, we have all sorts. Everything is here. Wickedness of men. All because of laziness of man. You see anybody that is lazy, separate yourself from that person. I'm telling you sincerely. Because they will soon attack you. Because that's what they eat. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. Do you know what? I would rather work for free than not work at all. I've done it before. I would rather work for free. Please, let me work for free. Because once you are not working, you are not worth it. You must be doing something. Your hands must be busy. Your mind must be busy. You must be busy. Some people say, I have hand pain. I have leg pain. You have a person that is not working, we have hand pain, leg pain, back pain, head pain. Because every part of the body must be active. It must be active for the blood to flow very well. Number five, hindrances to new season. is hatred for correction. Hatred for correction. When a man or woman hates being corrected, he or she cannot enter new. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. One of the things that will make you know a person who is not ready to improve in life is a hatred to be corrected. If you cannot be corrected, you cannot be uplifted. If you cannot be corrected, you cannot be decorated. Because life has so many mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. But if you get to a point in life whereby you make a mistake and you feel that, quote and unquote, you are too big, then you have a problem. That's the problem with a lot of our youths of our nowadays, when especially when youths begin to grow from 17 years, 18 years, if you are a guy, your chest begins to come out, especially if you have iron at the back of your house that you carry. I know you know what I'm saying. You carry weight and your everything begins to come out, biceps, everything begins to, you are looking like Mike Tyson. And mommy says, my son, this person you are moving with, I don't think I like him. Please stop moving with him. Say, mommy, in your life. See, once a guy crosses 18, he's already a don. I'm a don as you are seeing me now. Don't tell me who, such a child is going for trouble. People say a lot of things about this guy, the prodigal son. But for me, I learned a lot of lessons from that guy. He made a mistake, but he came back. That is the major thing about that story. He made a mistake, but somehow, he was correctable. That's why the father also accepted him. If you are going to enjoy new season, accept correction. Don't be a person that hates to be corrected. One of the things that you use to know a wise person is that when they are corrected, they are happy. They take it. But when you see a person who hates to be corrected, then there is a problem. My prayer for everyone here today is that God will give you more wisdom in Jesus' name. Number six, hindrance, I need to double up because of time. I'm running out of time. Is murmuring and complaining, a life that murmurs and complains all the time. Any life that is always murmuring and complaining cannot enter new season. If your desire is to enter into a new season, you must not be a complainer or a murmurer. Numbers 11 verse 1, when those guys murmured, God was very angry. And when the people complained, murmuring and complaining always displeases God and always arouses God's anger. God will just become angry once you are murmuring. Once anything happens and all you are doing is murmuring and earnestly speaking, I don't even know if this God is alive, safe. If he's alive, why did you allow this one to happen to me? Despite everything that I've been doing, I'm very, very disappointed. And honestly speaking, nobody can take me to church again. God say, okay, well done. You are well done. So I've not done anything for you. If you are ever going to enjoy new season, you must run away from murmuring and murmurers. Because anybody you stay around, what happens in their life, you catch the fire. You catch the fire of what happens to them. You begin to talk the way they talk. I've seen people before that told me that I have the resemblance of some of my fathers, and I'm not surprised. Because the people you hang around affects you. It affects you. So watch it. It was these murmuring people that affected Moses, that made him to murmur too, eventually. And in that Moses, as big as a pastor as he is for entering the promised land, he murmured and murmured and murmured. He himself now said, God, why did you allow this kind of burden to come on my head? One day God said, just hit the rock small. Hit the rock hard. And God was very, very, very angry. And God never let him go on that. He said, look at that promised land. As big as it is, it's very nice. You will not enter it. Oh yeah. May the Lord give us understanding. And number seven is hindrance to new season is ingratitude. Ingratitude. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 20. I'll be reading all through. This is a very striking scripture. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, all through to verse 20. When thou art eating, can we read together, if possible? Everybody? Awesome. Can it be bigger? Always let the fonts be bigger. But let's go on this particular note. Let's go. One, two, go. When thou art eating and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statutes which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou art eaten and art a fool, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt in them, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good. And thou shalt say in their heart. Now, listen, I will read on now. And then thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and my might of my hand hath gotten me where I am today. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is. Don't stop there because of time. This scripture, you can read it very well when you get home. Deuteronomy 8, 10 to 20. One thing that a child of God must not do is you must not be a forgetful Christian. The scripture says here, he says, when I have made you very fat in riches, I've given you money, you've married, you have children, you have built goodly houses, and you live therein. You can see it's like a theme. You live inside the house, then everything you touch multiplies. Your work begins to multiply. You are a tailor, you begin to have more customers. You are a businessman, customers are flocking in. You are a career man, you are being promoted suddenly in your place of work. You are a married woman. Now you have children, your husband loves you so much. He says, don't ever make all these things to make you forget me. It can hinder you from accessing a new season. I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the major things that makes God very angry with us. Man is quick to forget. If you are a child of God that never forgets what God has done, you will always change levels. You will always change levels. Always. But when you are a child of God that quick, some just gave testimony now, it's amazing that within 1 month, God forbid that some are now complaining. Oh God, oh God, oh God, what kind of thing is this now? How can you post me to this kind of place for NYSC? Eh? What about those that did not leave? Now you heard that every single graduate in this church, in this set, graduated and is going for service now. Give Jesus a big clap for that. That's the testimony. But anything, no matter what you are, don't ever forget your God. Don't let contracts. Why are you not in church? I have contracts with a governor in so-so-so state. That's wonderful. That's awesome. Somebody connected. You did not come from heaven without governor. Somebody connected you here on earth. All your connections to husband, to children, it is here on earth you met them. You did not bring your husband from heaven. God met. In fact, that wasn't the person you were supposed to marry. God just brought the right person to you, pushed the wrong person away. Every lady here, say thank you, Jesus. Because there are some people that God must push away for the right people to come into your life. And if there's anybody here this morning that anybody is still blocking your eyes from seeing, from connecting with the right person, God will push them away and bring the right person. Don't ever forget God. Don't be an ingrate. It hinders new season. It hinders. I can't imagine somebody got a contract. Somebody got a contract of, let's say, 10 million. Made a profit of 3 million. And when he's coming to church to give offering, he gives God 10 naira or 100 naira. It's an ingratitude. It's an ingratitude. A grateful heart will always attract a new season. A grateful woman will always attract a new season in her house. A grateful man will never suffer a problem in his business. Your heart of gratitude always helps you. And as I begin to round up this morning, number 8 hindrance to new season is satanic or demonic hindrances. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds and casting out imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are in a wicked world where some people specialize in trying to make other people sad. Their wishes permanently is that others don't make it. They wish it, they think it, and they go extra mile to do it. I had a story of a woman who was about to put to bed and was ready to put to bed. And somebody, a woman came to stay with her in the hospital. And the baby refused to come out 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour, I mean 10 hours, 24 hours. And this woman was still there. She sat permanently in a place. And all of a sudden, God opened the eyes of the doctor and told the woman, "Mama, release Yeni. Release this woman." Say, "Me? What did I do?" You know, that's how wicked people do. They just say, "Hey, me? Mike? Mike?" They say, "Mike. What's Mike?" "Nurses, pull her up. Get her out of here." As they pulled her up, they saw what she sat on. She sat on magic. And as she stood up from where she sat, we heard the cry of the baby come bursting forth. We are in a wicked world where some people have vowed that new season will never appear in other people's lives. But I stand here today as a prophet of God. Anybody born of a woman or born through cesarean section or any way he or she is born that has vowed that your new season will not come, I declare their judgment today. I declare their judgment today. I declare their judgment today. Can I hear your loudest amen? There are many examples we can't give you because we're on air now and people are watching us from many places. We're in a week. That's why you can't just be a casual Christian. You can't afford to be a casual Christian that is just doing Christianity like you are not serious. This is a serious life. This is a serious life. So until you are serious, you are not ready for a new season. And until you are ready to war with these forces, they will not let you go. They will not let you go. You can't appease them. You can't make friends with them. You can't say, "Please, let's just be friends." Their friendship with them is more problem. Because when they ask for somebody to donate, they will look for somebody else's child amongst their friends to donate. But your own children are undonatable. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen. As I round up this morning, anybody that is saying that you will die the same way you are now, that there will be no improvement in your life and in your family, I declare judgment for them today. I declare judgment for them today. Anybody wishing you evil, wishing you and I evil, praying for evil, sitting on mass, or waking up in the night for evil, for you and I declare right now they are judged. Right now they are judged. Right now they are judged. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. You came to this world and God sent you here for something. You will do exactly what he has sent you to do. Your destiny will not be aborted. I say your destiny will not be aborted. I say your destiny will not be aborted. In a few minutes from now, we'll be attacking these forces. We'll be waging war against them. We will put marks on their body. We will cut them into pieces. Your destiny must be fulfilled. I say your destiny must be fulfilled. I say your destiny must be fulfilled. I say your destiny must be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.